The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
When trouble comes, people turn to the church.
Next on Life Today, Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, and Pastor Jacob Aranza encourage believers to be involved in every sphere of life.
It is encouraging pastors across America and families across America that are Christians to unite together to see God once again bring spiritual awakening to our nation.
Preparation against the coming storms.
Today. Thank you so very much for sharing this time with us. I'm Betty, and this is James.
Yeah, and we've got a couple of my heroes here. One of them I met after Katrina had hit the whole Gulf Coast. And I want to remind you of something. I tried to point this out not too long ago, but I want to refresh your memory. You remember Jesus implied that you need to build your house on solid rock. Now, New Orleans did make a mistake building not on rock but sand, but they built on sand below sea level. Really, a couple of little principles violated to some degree. Most people are building their lives not only on sand, but sand below sea level. Okay. Well, but okay, so that's a point to just think about. But the fact is, because of it, they had to build levee walls. They had to build a hedge. Now, when Katrina hit, I mean, it hit with unpredictable, basically indescribable force. But see, that's what storms do. They're unpredicted. They're predictable in the sense they do what storms do. You just don't know when or exactly where they're going to hit, but they're coming. That's why you have to build a house, right? But there's something else. When you've got a precarious situation, you've got to have a wall. Well, when the storm did what it did, it just kept going, doing what storms do, just kept moving and destroying. That really wasn't what got New Orleans. What got New Orleans was the levee broke, the hedge, the wall collapsed. I want to tell you, we learned some lessons we can learn by looking at what we see around us. All right, we could reconsider how we build a house. We could look at the necessity of the wall securing us against the effects of the storm. America's being devastated by the storms of rejecting truth and God's principles and His Word, even God Himself. And the tragedy is the walls have come down. The church, the kingdom of God, as a hedge of protection against the fury of the storm, is just collapsing. Now, I want to be a part of rebuilding the hedge, the wall. I want to be a part of restoring the foundation and rebuilding the wall, as surely as Nehemiah understood the importance of it. Well, I've got pastors. I got a Marine and a pastor in the sense that he cares. Tony Perkins and Jacob Aranza. I met them in New Orleans after Katrina, and they were helping rebuild the city in the right way. Would you welcome Jacob and Tony to Life Today? I look at the name of your town here, where your church is, and you said, don't even read that, just call it. It's, you know, it's the Savior's Church in Broussard. But you said
Broussard.
Broussard. Lafayette would be better for people to...
Lafayette.
Are you laughing at me?
Broussard and
Is
Lafayette.
Louisiana laughing at me right now?
Louisiana, yeah. Them and Justin Wilson both are laughing at you.
Let me just tell you, I love you, Jacob. I love the churches that you work with and the pastors you work with. And I love this Tony Perkins, this Marine, that's really in more special forces than when he was in the military, because he's helping us. Really, do you think my analysis of the situation of the walls coming down is kind of a picture of what's happening and what Tony Perkins and the Family Research Council is trying to help restore? Do you see him in that role as he represents the family in Washington and tries to help us?
Absolutely. Tony Perkins is one of the great heroes in America today. He is a hero because it's unseen.
He is uniting and equipping the most important people in America, and that's the pastors in America. If the local church is the hope of the world, then pastors are the hope of the local church. And Tony Perkins exists to encourage them and to equip them and to empower them. He's taken regular pastors. The average church in America, James, as you know, is less than 200 people. 80% of the churches in America are 200 or less. And he's taken men like that, and he's turning them into absolute heroes, just like pastors in Maine who are literally changing the moral fiber of an entire state because he's equipped them and empowered them and told them they're the people that are supposed to be the hedge builders. And he's encouraging them to do just that.
Well, I agree with you. He is. And I know you could say a whole lot about Jacob. I want to reference this, Jacob. When I came down to New Orleans, we had the first gathering in a public facility, in a big hotel, where you could get 500 pastors together. And when we met with those pastors, and, you know, we had tried to help from the moment the collapse came, if it was water or chainsaws, we were trying to get something in there to assist. And in all of the church parking lots were the main distribution centers. Now, I mean, just for our viewers, a lot of people fall to the government. The government ought to do this, and so failed here. If the truth be known, who really gets the job done when the rubber hits the road and you start to rebuild and process? Mm-hmm. Where did it all start?
It all started at the church. A network of 500 churches that actually in an organization that was begun by Tony Perkins called the Family Resource Council that began there, and then his successor, which is Gene Mills, took over. It's a network of Protestant and Catholic churches, over 500, black, brown, mixed, red, yellow, white, Oriental, who unite together. And for the first time, James, the church in Louisiana became more angry at the devil than they were at one another. And they united together.
How miraculous.
And they united together. And from the first 24 hours, we were there on the ground. Tony was in Washington, D.C., then immediately came and joined us. And people like yourself, Joyce Myers, other ministries from all across America, within 3 to 4 days, we were literally bringing in millions of dollars worth of goods into people that were in crisis. I was the pastor of the governor then, Governor Kathleen Blanco. I found her on the third day, and she came to me and she said, "Pastor, where have you been? We've been trying to call you. You know, you talked about the levees and the allegory that that presented of how they collapsed. Well, there's one part of that that's left. There was no communication. You couldn't communicate to somebody 200 yards from here. So one of the great needs that we have, Tony Perkins is meeting, and that is communicating with pastors, communicating like you are, letting people know that great stories like what happened when Katrina came and attacked our state, and literally pastors, priests, ministers, pastors of small churches, women that pastored small churches, God raised up the Church of Jesus Christ, and in a matter of 90 days, we kept up to 50,000 people a night in churches all across the state. There were literally untold millions of dollars of goods given to people. People, trees cut out. Our church and churches would send literally hundreds of men with chainsaws going and cutting people literally out of their houses,
right.
Elderly people who had no one to help them.
And they were inland quite a distance from the shore. And by the way, we would have never known. Who would have thought to take, when you've got devastation, take chainsaws? People were trapped. The roads were blocked. People had no electricity. They had no water. They had no supplies. They had people that needed insulin. And I mean, I'm telling you, you guys knew exactly. See, the local community always knows how best to address the problem. And nobody knows how to address it better than the church family, people connected with God.
What was interesting about this is that the pastors were already in relationship when this happened. In fact, most people don't realize we've had 3 major hurricanes in a 3-year period. We had Katrina was the one that got all the news, but actually Gustav was one. In fact, I still have his gas cans in my shed. He brought gas to me from Lafayette because we couldn't get any gas to drive to take in supplies.
Not Broussard from Lafayette.
But it was the relationships of the pastors. And what was interesting now, after that first go-around, is that the government immediately turned to the churches. Within hours of the of that.
What about separation of church and state?
Well,
hey,
when you have.
What about separation of church and state?
When you have people who are hungry, and I sat at the governor called me in the last one. I sat with him and helped coordinate the food distribution through the churches. They turned to the churches because they knew they could count on them because of the compassion and everything that they had, they would pour into it. We were feeding 2.5 million people in the last hurricane in Gustav, and the bulk of that was coming through the churches. And it wasn't just in Louisiana, as Jacob is a leader of many pastors in other states. We had other churches. We had trucks of beef and groceries coming from all states into Louisiana and Mississippi to meet those needs. But it's based on those relationships. And it was amazing to me is that when trouble comes, people turn to the church. And that's one of the first places they go in the local community. In fact, it was so pronounced in Katrina that Homeland Security, in writing their new proposal, they got stopped in this present administration, but they were making the church a first shelter stop during these storms because they knew people instinctively turned to the church in a time of need.
And don't you think that one reason that they do that is because they're not only physically devastated by what has hit them, but mostly they're spiritually devastated, and they're coming
Absolutely.
Not only for their physical needs to be met, but for their spiritual heart to be healed and mended, and someone to know that someone loves and cares.
And the government can't do that. As hard as they try, they cannot do that. And that, I will tell you, Jacob and the other pastors were remarkable during that time, giving everything they had. I know churches, you know how it is, a church can barely survive without having their weekly offerings. And churches could not meet. These pastors took up offerings for other churches so that those, then they even took onto their payroll staff from other churches so that they could stay intact and continue to serve for months.
You are getting pastors who may feel like I don't have even a lot of influence necessarily. Some of them have like huge churches, but Jacob said, some of them have real small churches, not a great big church. But here you are, pulling them together to do what? To equip them to be the difference makers because a realistic difference has been made in their life. So they're impacting the culture. They're making an imprint, the kingdom imprint. Now, you believe this coming together is essential. What I want our viewers to know, we're committed to help encourage this and to work with people like Tony Perkins Family Research Council, like Jacob and the Association of Related Churches, like ARC and other groups that come together to try to impact all the different groups. We're seeing them come together. Pray and support that. Encourage. Stand with us in your prayers. Pray for these men. How important is what you sense? Because you've been relating. I want our viewers to know this. How important is what you sense God has put on my heart, your heart, our hearts together, related to the churches and to believers all over the world as they pray? How important is that coming together?
I think it's absolutely critical. As I look back on, you know, my younger years, I saw you from a distance and saw the leadership that was upon you, but I sensed a new leadership that the Lord has called you to, and that there is a clear recognition that America needs to turn to God. And it's going to be done in a different way. And I think it is through the compassion of God that we are going to introduce people to Him. And I think you're doing that. But I think what you're able to do as kind of a senior statesman of the church is to call together those leaders today that are emerging and those that are present to bring them together, because unity is the key. And I know one of the conversations we had that you prayed for that unity among us. And I think if we could ever be unified and we could walk together as a body of believers in this country, that we could profoundly impact this nation. And that's what we, you know, it's pastors like Jacob. I mean, our role is to champion pastors for the transformation of the nation.
I believe guys like Jacob. I believe the gates of hell tremble at the very thought of the family of God coming together like the family of the Father and behaving no longer like orphans, but like the children of a mighty God. Joint heirs, not joint kings, as one king, but letting this Lord reign and bring us together in harmony. Jacob as a pastor how important is this coming together? And you've expressed to me some excitement about what you're seeing, even as in the coming together occasions we've had. How important is this right now at this hour in America's history and in the world?
Well, most pastors, James, are very discouraged. As a matter of fact, if you look statistically, by the time a pastor starts off in ministry, within the first 5 years, about half of them quit. By the end of the duration of ministry, only 10% are left that started off after Bible college or seminary. And I think that you and Betty offer incredible hope. Firstly, your own personal example. You've lived through ministry at every level. You have your children, you have most of all Jesus, and then you have one another. And what a testimony that is, as young pastors who look up and go, hey, somebody who represents us is making it. We can finish strong. We can get to the other side. And though that may never be said, just like couples that are watching, people that are watching that don't have a mom and dad that made it like you guys can say, okay, you might not know this. There are a lot of people that have adopted y'all as parents and grandparents, and they look at you and go, baby, that's what we want. Just that same way, when you preach encouragement and unity to the body of Christ, their pastor's just that same way, sitting out there going, that's right. I don't have a TV program. A lot of people don't know me, but I hear what Tony Perkins is saying, and I hear what James is saying. I want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And I believe that as you speak, you are literally trumpeting a sound that is encouraging pastors across America and families across America that are Christians to unite together to see God once again bring spiritual awakening to our nation.
Jacob, you and Tony have been a tremendous encouragement to me. Just looking at your eyes, when you look at me, I hear you say, I love you. Tony, when I look at you, I hear you say, I love you and your family, James. But I see in both of you that you sense I love you both. Mm. I'd lay my life down for what God's called you to do. But God's called me to stand with you. Mm. I'd die with you. But somebody died for us. Now, here's my goal. This is what I want you to understand. I know Jesus is coming, but I'm not looking for an escape. I don't have an escape route. I have the presence, His presence, in the present. I am looking for Him to come in glory. But before He comes for us, I want this world to see Him in us. Does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. And they're not going to see Him in us in fullness unless we come together like a healthy family. So I'm praying hard. I'm asking you all over the world. Got a lot of you down under in Australia. You're so special. I wish I could hug. I'm so sorry about the floods that have devastated you. It breaks my heart. You are such a beautiful people. And all of you in the UK, in the Scandinavian countries, yes, in Germany, you pray for in the Central American countries, all of you in Canada, hey, you just pour your old anointing of love down here on us. I know sometimes you kind of tremble and think, man, I don't know about those Americans. But hey, I know you love us. And we love you. Hey, we'll be a shield of protection for you because we love you. Will you pray for us in America, in churches? Let's turn back to God. Let's don't just have in God we trust on our coin. Let's let it be a testimony of trusting in God. You know, we don't have to defend the Ten Commandments being carved in a wall. They're already there because they were in the hearts of our founders. But the real deal is, are we writing those commands with our lives and the power of that love? That's what we're doing. That's why Jacob's here, Tony's here. That's why I'm encouraging you. Family Research Council, there's the website. This man will help equip you. You say, I want to know how to make a difference in the social action in our country and what's happening in high offices and how we make wise decisions. And if we get somebody good, what are the principles they need to move toward? Mm. Let's get those things. Let him help you. There's the website. And Jacob, thank you. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks to these two great Christians and truly great Americans and lovers of what God's blessing has afforded us? Thank you both. Listen to me. I'm going to ask you to help us feed the starving always. But can I ask you to do this? Just step up and start praying for us and understanding what God's called us to do at this time. And I bet you and I ought to be sitting in a rocker. I mean, you know, we're going to be 70 before you know it. Betty said, quit talking. Whoa. We're headed there fast. But we're not going to be in a rocker. We want to kind of rock the boat a little bit, but we want to get the ship pointed back toward true north. We believe it can happen. We believe we can prevail against the gates of hell. I'm tired of the gates of hell coming in on us. Stand with us. Help us put God's arms around the world. Let me show you one specific way right now. You can pick someone up in the arms of God. Look in these eyes. Look at what you see. You hold the answer.
In their eyes are stories you and I cannot fathom. The pain of relentless hunger. The slow death that it brings. Fear of who it will take next. But in their eyes, we see hope. Do you see it? How about now? It's the power of love changing lives, one bowl of food at a time. Don't miss out on the joy of it.
You know, even in those eyes that look so empty and hopeless, God, we've seen a lot of them, Betty. I just learned that love in a bowl, because love fills our heart enough that we'd put our hands out, and at the bottom of this bowl, when you get all the soup out, there's the big word, life. And it's because we've received His life and His love, we want to share it. And Betty, we put a little porridge mix, a little soup mix in here that has saved. The last time the missionaries told us, the government national reports all over Africa was over 7 million lives had already been saved because we put food, one bowl at a time, one life. And you, the viewers, $30 will feed 3 children for the next months. Not just a meal, 50 will feed 5. 100 will feed 10, and I'll never look at that camera and look at you and hold a bowl that I wouldn't say, would you please help us feed 10 children for the next months? But remember, if it's 3, to those 3, it's a matter of life to give them a bowl of soup. You look at their eyes, I saw them light up when they had that little bowl. I even see their eyes light up when they see your face. You remember the little girl that looked like she was afraid, and then all of a sudden you felt somebody holding your finger as you were walking toward other needy children. This little girl just grabbed your finger.
And it doesn't take long for it. There may be a language barrier, but there's not a love barrier when it comes to expressing the love of Jesus. And did you see that little bit of a smile come on the face of that child? I love it, because that smile says, someone cares. Someone has given me hope, James, because they've given me something that I need, and that's nourishment. Won't you join with us? Let's put some smiles on these faces that have been hurting so much.
I pray, Father, that you'll answer Betty's prayer, that the line to help them will always be longer than the line that needs help. Hear that prayer. You are the answer to that prayer. You are the answer to the heart cry of mothers and children. By simply reaching out and dialing that number. This is not wishful thinking. It's not a feeble hope. It's not wish we could find a cure for a disease. We've got the cure. It's simple nourishment that our love can provide. Would you dial that number right now and be the answer to that prayer, the prayer that I prayed, that the line to help will be longer than the line that needs help? Please dial the number. Take your bank card. Make the largest gift you can possibly make. Help us take care of as many children as possible. We want to send you God's kingdom in you, living in His presence in the present, because that's what we're doing. So we're manifesting His presence in the present, His love. Please do that. But ask for the CDs. Thank you for your gift, the DVDs, Jim Hilton's book, Where Heaven Touches Earth. We want to be a blessing to you as you bless others. We want to show you God's intended purpose now, in you, right now. You don't want to miss this, but please make that special life-giving gift. You want to go online, lifetoday.org, you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us what you're sending. Please make that life-giving call.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
Eyes are the window to the soul, is what the Word of God tells us, and yet what you're seeing today is lifeless eyes, the windows to a dying child. Yet the answer to ending this suffering and this pain, the answer to rescuing and saving this child's life is so very simple. It's just you getting up right now, dialing the number on your screen, going online, and giving the gift of life, giving the gift of food to this child and to children all over this area that so desperately need your help today.
I want to just say how important it is that every one of you do something to help. I mean, 3 children is important. Some of you never helped. Put your arms around 3, 5, or 10 children, would you? Ask for God's kingdom in you. I'm going to promise you, Betty and Beth Moore and I joined our hearts. And I've never seen the people around us so energized by the power of God. Get this series. I hope you'll get it on DVD. And Jim Hilton's book, The Supernatural Skyline. And then again, remember I said, pray for us. Pray for Tony Perkins, the Family Research Council. Go on the web, see what they're doing. For Jacob Aranza, for all these pastors. Would you again say thanks to these wonderful guests we've had? And thanks to you for your help. Thanks to both of you men, all you do. Thanks to all of you who helped us.
Connect with Life Today through your favorite social media sites. Just go to lifetoday.org and click Connect. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.